First Kings chapter 22 and beginning at verse 41. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. He turned not aside from doing it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. What a great day, the Lord's Day. God, in America, we need to honor you more and more, especially get back to the Lord's Day. This is your day. Help us now to honor you by listening closely as the pastor comes and preaches from the Word of God. Help us to honor you by listening and applying the truths that he'll give us this morning from the Word of God. God, meet with us today. We need your help. And Father, if there's anybody in this room this morning that does not know 100% sure they're going to heaven, God, I pray today before they leave this room, they get it settled. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I need to make my cell phone speech. Turn it off or turn it to vibrate. If your cell phone goes off in the service and we hear it, it will trip a switch in the air conditioning in your car and at home, and it won't work. So I don't want you to say, I don't have air conditioning in my car. Then the windows won't roll down. Something bad will happen. So just make sure that your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate. Help us there this morning. Sit and listen very carefully, please. Just read a passage of Scripture, a little simple excerpt that says this good king, Jehoshaphat, who was going to follow what his good father had taught him. The Bible says this man intended to do everything the right way. I want you to look again at your Scriptures for me, would you? At verse number 43, and he, that's Jehoshaphat, walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, that's all good stuff. Good heritage, good instruction, good teaching. His intention is to follow it. If you know the book of Kings and Chronicles, etc., you know Jehoshaphat was a good king. Loved God, did the right thing. There's one word that kind of changes a little bit here, some things, and that's the word nevertheless in verse 43. See that statement there, nevertheless. The high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. Let me explain to you what that means. If we were to go back to 1 Kings chapter 3, after David was a great king in Israel, his son Solomon reigned. Solomon would build the temple. Solomon's temple was probably the most magnificent structure ever built by mankind. We're talking a building of literally tens of thousands of square feet in its size, and yet most of what went on inside that building or the inside construction was of pure gold. This thing is an unbelievable structure. But the important thing about the temple for Israel is this. It is the place they were to come and offer their sacrifices, and the high priest would burn incense for prayer to God, etc. And the Israelites understood and they knew that that was the place to go. Now, before the temple was the tabernacle, that portable structure that they used. Even when Israel settled into the promised land, the tabernacle was put in a certain place and they were to go there to offer their sacrifices and burn their incense. Now, when Jehoshaphat becomes king, Solomon had already built the temple. But in Solomon's day, Solomon started a practice of offering incense in what's called high places. Now, they're not offering incense to heathen gods. They're offering incense to God. They're not offering sacrifices to heathen gods. They're offering sacrifices to God. But until the temple was built, Solomon said, well, let's do this. Everywhere there's a high place in the city or around the city, just go there, build yourself an altar, and do your worship there. So let's be clear this morning. When they say they burned incense in the high places, they weren't worshiping idols. They weren't worshiping heathen gods. They were worshiping God. But they were doing the right thing the wrong way. They were supposed to go to the place where the tabernacle was and do that. But Solomon said, look, that's all right. Look, we'll just do it here. So we don't have to go over to the tabernacle. But now, when Jehoshaphat is king, this is several generations later. The temple is already built. Everyone that's a Jew knows that you go to the temple to offer your sacrifices and your incense. But if you follow that statement, but they offered incense in the high places, if you follow that, almost a dozen times it's mentioned in the reign of the kings that after the temple was built, and after they knew where they were supposed to go and do what they were supposed to do, they had adopted this practice of still offering incense to God, still offering sacrifices to God. Now listen to me. But where they chose and the way they chose to do it. Well, Pastor Johnson, after all, I mean, they're offering it to God, so that's all that matters. You listen to me carefully this morning. Sincerity never replaces obedience to God's word. Never. Yeah, but if you're sincere, that's the important thing. Now, they meant well, and as long as they meant well, Pastor John, no, they were supposed to go to the temple. God told them that was the place to offer incense and sacrifices, and they were, well, they had developed a religion of the high places. They would go to the temple occasionally, but when it wasn't convenient, they'd go to a high place, offer some sacrifice, incense, and they would go on. Now, that's the subject this morning. I want to talk to you about a religion of the high places. Now, I want to say it one more time before I get to the message. Sincerity does not replace being right and doing the right thing. Illustration. When my wife and I were first married, we went to one of those video arcade places where people play video games who don't have a life. Now they do it at home and they still don't have a life. But anyway, we went to one of these video arcade places. And we were, after playing a few video games, we went out the doorway to go to the parking lot to leave. And as we stepped out the doorway of the arcade place, the sidewalk turned and went this direction. And over here on the left, in a fenced-in area, were a bunch of trampolines that they had lowered down to the ground level. So you didn't have to crawl up on it. You just walked off, stepped on the trampoline, bounced up and down. So I opened the door for my wife, as a gentleman always does for a lady. She steps out. She starts to walk down the sidewalk this way. I'm walking this way, looking at the people jumping up and down on the trampolines. Over in the corner was this huge guy. I'm talking huge. And I noticed as he's jumping up and down on the trampolines, he's over in the corner by the fence line. As he's jumping up and down on the trampolines, I noticed he starts going sideways. Now, there's something in my mind that said, he's going to take out about 10 feet of chain link fence. And forgive me, but I wanted to watch that. So my wife is walking this way, and I'm looking at the trampoline pit over here. And while we're walking this way, I see him, and he's starting to get more sideways. So I stepped up to the fence. Boom, boom, he hit the fence. Didn't take any chain link fence out, but it was still funny. And he landed on the sidewalk, and I saw my wife's beautiful blonde hair out of the corner of my eyes. And I put my arm around her, and I said, come on, honey, let's go. And we stepped back like this, and we started to walk. And then she started to pull back. And I looked down. And it wasn't my wife. She had just walked off. And I stepped up to a totally strange woman, put my arm around her and said, come on, honey, let's go. Now, that sounds funny now. But if you saw the look on my wife's face, it was not funny at the moment. She's just sort of standing there. I said, whoa, excuse me, ma'am, I'm married, please don't hurt me. Honey, it was an accident. I never saw the lady in my life, honestly. It was like, I don't know, I was offended. Did you see the fat guy over there? I was, okay. Now, hey, you know what? Totally sincere, people. Totally sincere. I wasn't going to walk up, put my arm around a strange woman and say, come on, honey, let's go. There's no way. I was completely sincere and completely wrong. Sincerity never replaces obedience. So when we're talking about a religion of high places, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a thing, a religious belief, a practice that gets into your life and to mine because it's today. This religion of high places, it's today. It's been going on for centuries. It's still going on. And guess what? We have today a religion of high places. For example, we have a religion of convenience. Convenience. Look at me. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, a religion of high places is a religion of convenience. That's why they went to the high places. I don't know how far they were from the temple. Sometimes they had to make a journey of some distance to get there. But if you lived in Jerusalem, it didn't take you that long to get there. But it didn't make any difference because if you didn't, listen to me, if you didn't want to make the journey, it was just convenient to go to the nearest high place and worship God as you saw fit at that high place. 2010, ladies and gentlemen, we still got a lot of people practicing the religion of high place convenience. Now here's what happens. We go to church. We believe in God. We do the do's. We don't the don'ts. We say the prayers. If somebody asks us if we're a Christian, we say, well, of course we're a Christian. But in reality, we have never settled the matter of salvation for ourselves. We look at a baptismal certificate instead of doing what the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and making sure for ourselves that we have salvation. Making sure we know we have trusted Christ. Like the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to hell from Shasta Baptist Church or any other church on this planet unless we're careful to realize that it's not where I go, it's not what I do, it's not what I am. It is salvation through the person of Jesus Christ, and I must make the decision to receive him as my Savior. Now, don't do that. Don't you settle for the religion of high places and just go with the convenience of, well, my mom's a Christian, my dad was a Christian, all my people were a Christian, my uncle's a preacher, I got this, I got that, I must be a Christian, I love the Lord, I must be a Christian, I go to church, I must be a Christian, I do this, I must be a Christian, I don't do that, I must be this, and just settle in on that thing and never realize that you must make a personal decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you done that? And can you right now this morning think of the day or time, maybe not the date on the calendar, but you can remember specifically, I realized I was lost. I realized my lost condition would take me to hell, but that God loved me and Jesus died for me and paid for my sins. And realizing that, I knew I must trust Christ alone to save me, and I asked him to do so. Oh, my friend, today, it's a fearful thing. It's frightful today to realize that in these last, especially 7, 8 years as a preacher, I haven't been a preacher now for 27 years, but in these last 7, 8 years, I find more Christians with professing beliefs who do not have salvation. Not because they had it and they lost it. You don't do that. You don't lose a gift, friend. You didn't earn it, so you can't unearn the gift. I'm saying people who say they're Christians, but they have never made a definite, distinct decision to say, yes, I will accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And made that decision for themselves. But they've settled for the religion of high places. And they settle for a convenient Christianity, a convenient salvation. Well, I must be saved because I got baptized. I can take you over here in the river and baptize you till you ever fish by his first name and you're not going to heaven. Salvation is trusting Christ as Savior. That's salvation. Don't you settle for a religion of high places in this matter of convenience. But once a person accepts Christ as their Savior, then I find today there are many who have settled for the religion of high places in a convenient Christian life. They settle in and go to church on a Sunday morning. And that's good enough. That's good enough. Well, I'm here. What do you want, Pastor Johnson? I'm fine. You can show up one Sunday a year if you like, and I'll be glad to see you. But you look at me. But the truth of the matter is, the Christian life calls for something more than just showing up. It calls for something more than just making a show. It calls for something more than just putting on an act. It calls for something more than just a religion that's convenient to my living. We go to church, but we don't join. We don't get in and join the church. Say, what does joining the church have anything to do with my salvation? Absolutely not. But why is it in the Bible then? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, the Bible said, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Those people they counted in Acts chapter 2, they counted them when they joined the church, not just showing up. Now we've got folks visiting today and we've got people who are still looking at our church. I'm not trying to press you into a decision this morning. I am trying to tell you something this morning. After you've been here for a while, I guarantee you, you know what Shasta Baptist Church is. And if you don't, let me give it to you in a short version. It is an independent, fundamental, soul-winning, separated, King James, Bible preaching, Hellfire, Damnation, Baptist Church. We teach the Bible. We preach the Bible. We make much of Jesus, much of the Bible, and much of the souls of men, women, and children. That's who we are. That's what we do. That's what we've done for 27 years. That's what we're going to keep on doing for 27 more years if God gives us good sense. Now, well, if we're not careful, we'll settle into a convenience It doesn't, listen, there's not much involved in going to church and sitting on a Sunday morning. You have to get up, you have to get ready, you have to go out the door, and if you got kids, God bless you, because it's a production. I understand all that kind of stuff. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, after a while, especially I'm a native Californian. Now, I was born and raised in California. And we've got a convenient brand of lifestyle out here that kind of fits our Christian, and a lot of Christianity has picked that stuff up. Where I can come in, pop in, show up, make a presentation of myself, whoop, and get up and walk out the door, and that's as far as it goes. It's a religion of high places when we settle for a religion of convenience. It's a religion of high places when we settle for a religion of comfort. There are entire movements in the Christianity today geared to make you comfortable when you come to church. Now look here, look at me. I'm glad for the comfort of air conditioning, padded chairs. You ain't lived until you had to sit on a wood bench through a very, 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 very long sermon. I don't preach long here. I don't. I preach until I'm done and then I quit. But the truth of the matter is, as I always tell people, I'll be as brief as long as it takes me. But the truth of the matter is, you ain't lived till you've been in a church building with no air conditioning, wood pews, yes. I'm for that kind of comfort. Padded chairs and air conditioning, yes, yes. Carpet on the floor, high-tech nursery with a video screen. We give you a pager for your kiddos, so if they need you, we page you. You can go in there. We got paved parking lots with stripes. We got the stuff, man. Hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with the creature comforts to make things comfortable for us when we go to church. Nothing wrong with that. It's nice to have the comfort of availability of programs. We have graded Sunday school for you, for yourself and your children and your age groups and all that kind of stuff. We have a Christian school. We have facilities. We have all these sort of things. Nice, nice, all nice. There's nothing wrong with that kind of stuff. As long as that's not the purpose for why you go to church. But do we want a religion of comfort that lets us just live in sin? So churches all across America today, they don't even preach on sin anymore. They just take all that stuff out. You know, you go to church, you get the psycho massage. You know what I'm talking about? They make you feel good about who you are, what you're doing. They got a lot of stuff about improving your self-image. How to feel good about your inner child. How you guys can get in touch with your feminine side. I ain't got one of those. They got all this stuff. And man, when you leave church, you feel, hey, you feel really good about who you are and what you're doing. Because that's what it should be. You should feel good about yourself. But not if you live in sin. You should be convicted, not comforted. Look at me. Something's wrong today when we have taken our religion of high places and replaced that. Some of you folks who came this morning to visit Shasta Baptist Church and you go, boy, if I'd have known it'd be that kind of message and that's what kind of stuff they preach, I wouldn't go over there. Don't come back, because we do this stuff on a pretty regular basis around here. And I'm not trying to get you to not come back. I want to get you to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. If I'm not right with God, I need to get right with God. Mike Johnson does. I don't want to go to a church that tolerates me living in sin, immoral, indecent, ungodly, lying, thieving, cheating person in my life. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live that way, and you shouldn't either. A religion of high places is a religion of comfort. Just come to church, get a little sing-song, a little pat on the po-po, send me off to my champagne and my scrambled eggs, and everything's good with my life. No. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And we don't want to present the Christian life any different than the way the Bible presents it. We don't set a standard any higher than the Bible does. We really don't. I'll prove it to you. Hold your place here. Go with me to the book of Matthew, would you, real quickly? The book of Matthew, chapter 16. Let me show you Jesus' standard for the Christian life and what his expectations are. We'll just let Jesus settle this morning and see if this sits with Joel Osteen and some of these reverend boys that are running around. Look in Matthew chapter 16, please, in verse number 24. Oh, you shouldn't mention names, Pastor Johnson. Then don't when you preach. I do when I do. Apostle Paul did it too, by the way, and it's biblical. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. Now look at this. This is Jesus' expectation of the Christian life and from those who said they wanted to follow him. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Look at that standard, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said, you want to follow me? Here's step number one, deny yourself. Step number two, he says, come after me, deny yourself. Take up your cross. It doesn't mean you bear actual literal cross. It means the cross was God's will for Jesus. And your cross is God's will for your life. Mike Johnson's will gets set aside for God's will. That's Jesus' expectation. And then he said, follow me. That means you get in his footsteps and you follow Christ doing what the Bible says. Then verse number 25 is this. Because if you intend to keep the life that you think you must have, you're going to lose it anyway. Doesn't mean death necessarily. It means you don't get the life you're after. But if you're willing to say, okay, I'll deny myself, I'll do what God's will for my life is, the Bible says you'll find the life God has designed for you. And hey, friend, that is well worth the price. But you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone to get a hold of that one. Because believe me, it was not comfortable for Jesus to bear the cross. So I'm sorry this morning. I'm sorry. Shasta Baptist Church would be 10 times its size if this preacher would just not preach everything that's in the Bible. Just let you come to church, go on with what you're doing. Don't worry about the rest of it. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not helping you find the life God has for you. But you can't find it in a comfort zone. It's not there. It wasn't comfortable to be born into this world as Jesus was, born of a virgin. It wasn't comfortable to live a sinless life. It wasn't comfortable to go to the cross. It wasn't comfortable to rise from the dead. But ladies and gentlemen, don't you understand? That gives us eternal life, that Jesus died for us and rose again. And he gave everything away so you could have everything you needed. And then our Christian life is not supposed to ask anything of us. There's not supposed to be any expectation of how you live, what you do, what you don't. See, that's wrong. But today we've settled for the religion of high places by a religion of comfort. We'll go to church. All right, we'll go to that Shasta Baptist Church. And we'll let that preacher give us a bad time every now and then. Because when I go home, I'm just going to go home and do what I want. And I'm just going to settle in with the way my life is. And we accept the comfort of a life that, frankly, has no peace. Something's not right here until everything's right here with the one who saved me. I'll testify this morning. Got saved when I was 9 years of age. The age of 12, I walked away from church. And from 12 till I was 22, I didn't go to church much. And I went on, you know, when I go see my grandparents, they wanted to go to church. I'd go with them. But you mean the stuff of God? Mm-mm. Mike Johnson was going to do what Mike Johnson wanted to do. And I did. Listen to me. And I did, for over 10 years, I did what Mike Johnson wanted to do. Those 4 years, last 4 years of that 12-year period of time, I was in the military, overseas, doing what a young single GI would do if he was stupid. And I was stupid. You think I found peace anywhere? Seriously? Oh, I bet you had some fun. Oh, I laughed. Big deal. Do you think I ever really settled that thing in my... Because I got saved when I was a boy. And salvation is something God gives you, and it's eternal life, and it's a gift. And He says He'll never leave us or forsake us. And He's always there, and the Spirit of God was always pressing me. You know you're not right. You know this is what you're not supposed to do. Just south of Chico on Highway 99, just before you take the exit to go to Butte College. After wrestling with God, I pulled over at that place and I got my heart right with the Lord. And I said, I can't take it anymore, God. I can't take it. I don't know what it is you want me to do, but I know what I'm not doing and I know what I'm not going to do anymore. I'm not settling this way. And guess what? God took me out of my comfort zone. But do you think I could have imagined the life I have now compared to what I had then? How good it has been, how sweet it has been. Hey, there's nothing like pillowing your head at night and know that there's nothing between your soul and your Savior. I'm not perfect, but ladies and gentlemen, I'll testify and say, as best as I know how, I'm right with my God this morning. It's okay. Oh, it's not always comfortable. Sometimes I think, man, why does God just keep hammering away on me about things? Then after a while, I came to the realization, I want Him to keep me that way. I don't want to just settle in and settle up. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But there has to be a sacrifice to find what God has for you in life. And friend, it is well worth it. But sacrifice is not comfortable. The religion of high places is a religion of comfort. The religion of high places is a religion of control. They had places to which they could go. So if the temple was two blocks from them and there was a high place across the street, they could just go across the street. Look at me. And they were in control of this thing. They'll decide where to burn the incense. They'll decide where to offer the sacrifice. They'll decide how much it's going to cost them. They'll decide how far they're going to go. They'll decide what they're expected of them. They'll decide whether or not they're going to do what the Bible says. They'll decide that. It's a control issue, this religion of high places. I'll decide whether or not that kind of Christianity I want. I'll decide whether or not that's what the Bible says. I'll decide whether or not that's what I'm supposed to do. I'll decide that. God will just understand. I'll do it on my terms. I'll do it my way. I'll do it as long as I want to. And when I feel like stopping, I'll stop. And when I want to start, I'll start. And it's all about me doing what I want to do when I want to do it. It is a religion of control. Now, I'm in control. Question. So how good is life going when you're at the helm and running your life? When all of our kids were small, this was before the seatbelt law got really crazy, we would get close to the house and I'd let one of them sit in my lap and drive us home. Even when they were little bitty little. Now obviously, ladies and gentlemen, I did not let them drive the car. I let them think they were driving the car. And they'd put their little hands on the steering wheel, and I did the gas and the brake, and I kept my hands at the bottom of the steering wheel to make sure we stayed nice and straight, just a block or two from the house, just down I-5, stuff like that. And so we're going along. And they would just laugh and say, and they'd say to their brother and sister, "Hey, look, I'm driving the car." And the whole time I had my hands on the bottom of the wheel, the whole time I did the gas and the brake and everything else. When they got a little bit older, they looked down and see my hands. They go, "Take your hands off the wheel, Daddy. Let me drive the car." I say, no. You just put your little fat hands up there and take care of it. Now I'm going to put my hands down here and we'll get to the house. One day, one of the older girls, Jenny, she said, "Daddy, please." I said, "Okay, fine." So we're in a flat part road, no traffic. I just took my hands off the wheel. Oh. She started heading for a ditch. I was just going to let her go. But folks, I was in the car. So I'm not going in a ditch, okay? I just let her get enough out of control for her taste to find out she's not in control anyhow. And when you get in control, it doesn't turn out well. How come kids can figure it out sitting in their father's lap, and you and I as God's children in our heavenly father's lap cannot figure it out that when we're in control, it doesn't work out right? We don't have the smarts of God, friend. We don't have His intelligence. We don't have the omnipotence of God. We don't have the omniscience of God. We don't have what God has. We don't know what God knows. We can't do what God can do. And you think God's going to mess up your life because you stop being a control freak and let God run your life? No! He made a beautiful sunrise this morning. He'll make a beautiful sunset tonight. He splashes His power and omnipotence across the face of this universe. Every night when the sun goes down, the stars come out. God shows you His mighty power in His hand. You think that God's going to mess you up? You think He doesn't know how to make a good life for you? It's a religion of high places when we have to control this thing. We're going to go as far as we say. We're going to do as much as we want to. And when I'm done, that's it. And I don't care what that preacher says or anybody else says. The truth is, you need to get it straight and talk to God like that. Look up to the Heavenly Father's face, friend. Look up into that starry night or that cool morning. Look up there at God and say, "You know what? You're not going to tell me how to live my life." Nebuchadnezzar did that. Great king of Babylon. He wound up in the backyard eating grass for 7 years. He lost his control freak principle. But he was such a knucklehead, it took him 7 years to figure it out. How long for us, how long, friend, before we realize, I don't design the Christian life. You don't design the Christian life. We don't design what it is God has for us. I wish I could tell you, boy, you let God take control and everything will be fine. You'll never shed a tear. You'll have all the money you need in your life. You know, the blab it and grab it stuff that's going around. No, I'm sorry. It's not how it works. There'll be hills and valleys, and there'll be dark midnights, and there'll be troubles and trials. Yeah, but there'll be blessings, and there'll be grace, and there'll be mercy, and there'll be God's hand. But if you're going to run it your way, you've got a religion of high places that has way too much of your hands on the controls. I'll offer incense where I choose, God says, no. And you know what? That thing perpetuated for generations in Israel. Let me say this and finish this morning. But after a while, it didn't just be incense and sacrifices to God on these high places. Then they started bringing idols in. And then they're offering a sacrifice to God in the morning and to Baal, a heathen god, in the evening. And that place of convenience, that place of comfort, that place of control became a place of idolatry and sin. And that's what will happen to us. It does have to be God's way to be right. But when God makes it right, friend, it is right. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning, would you?